tell them the story about your friend, Mary. How eager you were to tell her.
The same story among us. All right.
But we haven't heard it.
You haven't heard it. How many haven't heard it? You see, I was educated in the Convent of Jesus and Mary in Pune, where I was born and grew up. And so that is a Catholic school. For us, when we were little, I mean myself and my friends and all, Christian meant Catholic. I didn't know there were other denominations in Christianity, but I loved the nuns. And the church that was there in the convent grounds. I love Jesus, of course, because I knew Baba is Jesus. So for me, Jesus was very much alive now. Not one of the past, not someone whom you just put in a church, like in an old people's home, and visit once a week and say, you know, I remember you, is everything all right? Wasn't that? It was a very alive thing with me. And so in my class was a girl who was a Catholic, a Christian, a Goanese Christian. Her name was Mary D'Souza. She was my best friend. And one of the reasons I really liked her was because I admired her. And the reason I admired her was she was a lot of things that I wasn't. I mean, Mary never told a lie. I could do that at the drop of a pin. Especially if I was to be scolded for something. I'd just say, I didn't do it. Even if I was caught red-handed. My mother was a very intelligent person, and she would know the subtleties of everything that I may have done or not done. And so very gently she would try and make me admit, no. If I had stolen a mango from the larder, where I was told not to take the mango from the larder, and of course, I'd taken the mango from the larder and eaten it, and it had left a yellow stain all around. I hadn't the sense to really, you know, wash it off thoroughly. And my mother would ask, did you take the mango money? And I said, no. And she would be very puzzled. But she said, how come you have this old yellow stains around your lips? I don't know, but I didn't take it. She'd go to the garbage pan and she'd see the skin of the mango was there, the stone of the mango. She knew that somebody's eaten the mango and thrown this. She said, Money, how did this thing get into the garbage? I don't know, but I didn't eat it. It would take about half hour before I could. Anyway, even in school, but Mary D'Souza, never. If she was next to me and teacher would say, Mary D'Souza, did you do such and such? And she would stand up and say, yes, miss. And I didn't know how she did it. I just looked at it and I'd melt. And I said, Baba, I can't do that. You know. Whenever she talked to me, when we had time to talk together, apart from schooling and lessons, she would talk about the saints, St. Catherine, St. Teresa, St. Anne, you know. I would be munching taffy or baked chickpeas, which we used to get at the gate of the convent, and which I'd offer her, and she'd always say no. For my birthday, she'd give me a picture of the saint written at the back. I still have one, Imani, with love from Mary D'Souza. When her birthday came, I gave her balloons. Silly things like little toys of some kind that you blow in it, you know, it's or a kerchief or something. But no, she was so good, and I wasn't. So one day we were sitting on the steps of the church after we had been inside. I loved going into the church. I loved Jesus. I loved him. Once I told her, I said, you know, Mary, I love Jesus more than you do. And she was shocked, you know. She thought, I should never have said that. Anyway, I'm not even a Christian. I'm a heathen. But what I meant was, I do, because I know he's right here now. So when she would walk into the church, I'd be behind her, and she'd walk over to the altar and the cross with Jesus on it. And on the side were statues of the saints, St. Francis, St. Teresa, St. Anne, St. Catherine. And as I'd go by, I'd smile at them. They were my friends. And sometimes I'd, you know, caress the statue's hem of the robe. And I believed, I could swear that they smiled back at me, looked down at me. You know, there was something between us each. But Mary walked straight on, very properly, very sedate. One day we were sitting outside, and I would refer to Baba as Jesus. Jesus as Baba, and Baba as Jesus. At that time, it was one for me, I know, it's one. So Baba and Jesus are one. So, you know, there's a little font in which there's holy water. And as you go in, you dip your fingers in it, and you genuflex, and you make the sign of the cross, which I always did, along with my friend. I loved it. I mean, to me, it was all very real. It was home of Jesus, of Baba. So but once when I was doing this, it was a hot morning. This was during recess time. You know, we had 15, 20 minutes break from lessons in the morning. So when the bell would ring, we could go out. We would either go in the market, get a razor or a pencil or whatever. Well, I would buy some chickpeas and tapi from the woman at the gate, and then we'd go into the church. And after all this, then we'd sit down. So it was very hot, it was very sunny that morning. So as I put my hand in the holy water, it was so cool to the touch. So I put it over my eyes like that. Just then, for some reason, Mary turned round. She was so shocked. You know, I should never do that. And I said, no. And I said to myself, but Baba wouldn't mind that. Why did she say no? Baba, I know Baba wouldn't mind that. I didn't say Jesus wouldn't mind that. I said Baba wouldn't mind that. Another thing that touched me very deeply, apart from my love for the nuns, was when I'd see Jesus on the seeing Jesus on the cross was not so painful, because with the Catholics, Jesus and the cross are one. Jesus and his suffering are one. You never see Jesus separately as a person. You know, he's always on the cross. His suffering is what is most prominent in the Catholic religion, as far as I gather. But so I accepted Jesus. Cross was part of Jesus. The cross was part of Jesus. But when I saw this beautiful painting that someone had done in the church of Jesus with a crown of thorns, that broke my heart. I still remember standing in front and sobbing. How could they do that to Baba? How could they do that to Baba? And it was quite some time before we came out. Anyway, one morning after visiting Jesus, we were sitting outside on the steps. And I was munching away my chickpea and the taffy, my back to Jesus. And we were sitting on the steps, and she was telling me the story of some saint. And so that morning it was a brown sugar taffy, jaggery as you call it. And I was, and Mary was telling me about some saint. Suddenly this thought rushed into my head. Wow, Mary loves Jesus. Mary is so good. She's always telling me stories of Jesus and his people. And here I am, supposed to be her best friend, who knows Jesus is right here on earth now. And I haven't told her. Look, Mary, Jesus is here. So what a lousy friend I am. And now you see how fast thoughts can be. All in a second, this tidal wave rushed into me and said, ah, I know what she'll do. The moment I tell her my brother is Christ, I know what she's going to do. She's going to jump up for joy and say, hallelujah. Or she will scold me and say, you didn't tell me before. You know what it means to me, and you never told me before. And this all came, this showed this excitement in me. And I said, Mary. And she felt this feeling that came from me, this electricity, as it were. She immediately stopped and she looked at me and she said, what? I said, Mary, do you know my brother is Christ? And I was just going to give her his address. I couldn't give her his phone number, he didn't have a phone. But I knew his address. And just then, And I suddenly realized that Mary was not doing any of the things that I thought she would do when I told her. Because she said, yes, what? I said, do you know, my brother is Christ. And she became withdrawn suddenly, as if she drew herself in. And there was a cold air around her, as you know. I felt the coldness and the withdrawal. And my mouth was still open, and it's all brown from that taffy right around my lips. And I'm still holding a bit of that taffy in my hand. And she got up, she stood up. I still remember that she brushed her skirt off at the back. And she walked away, a pillar of ice. And I kept saying, Mary, oh Mary, but listen, Mary. She didn't talk to me for about a month. And I would try and meet her eyes so she could know that I was still friends, that I wanted to somehow convey something to her, if not so much in words. One day at class, she met my eyes. You know, she turned a corner fast and she couldn't help it. And so we were all right. But it was never the same. And I told her, I said, you're no Christian. She said, what do you mean? I said, is that what Christ has said? Supposing I was wrong. I'm not, mind you. But supposing I were. So is that what you didn't talk to me and you couldn't forgive and all that? And I had the joy of seeing her looking humble at that when I said this, because I was really, I had to give that to her. And afterwards it was never the same. We were now best friends. So that was my first and last attempt as a child to tell people my brother was God.
How old were you then, Mom?
Huh?
How old were you then?
10? 9? 10? No, I'm sorry. No. I was 11. Half past 11, but nearer 12. Yeah. Because, say 11, because that's the time when Baba John dropped her body. You see, with me, any places and dates, if I've ever mentioned places and dates on a tape, and if somebody else says, no, it wasn't that, please believe them, because I'm not good at places and dates. But this I can place, because is the time when Baba John dropped her body. I believe I was 11, because when my father dropped, when my father died, I was 12. So it's around that time, but it was never the same. What I remember is another silly thing, is I used to go to her house. They were a poor family. The Christians, Goanese Christians in India, are very lovely people, very musical, very big, warm-hearted, and things. So, but poor, most of them. So anyway, I would go to their place and to accompany her to school sometimes, not always, but I would sometimes do that, and or talk over together about a poem that we had to study and or some papers that we had to do. In fact, I didn't have to do much paperwork. I'll come to that later. Anyway, so when we were there, her little sister named Lucy was still in bed. And Mama was making breakfast for them. And she said, Lucy, get up, Lucy. Lucy, you hear me? Now it's time to get up. So she would take the covers off from her face. A little part of her face would show. Little voice would come out and say, get up in, Mama, get up in. She wouldn't say getting up, she would say get up in. And she would cover herself again. So when we had to learn poetry by heart. That was part of the homework, you know. Learn, copy down so much from page so-and-so to page so-and-so. And these pages of poems, poetry that we had to learn. Now, I hated doing any homework. I hated doing any schoolwork once I was home. When I'd come from school, I just threw my books and run as fast as I could to play with the neighbor's child. And my mother, I could hear my mother say, "Money, money." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Temina." She always said, Temina was an example, dangled before me always, who was another very good girl, but then she was an orphan. She never had a chance to be bad. So mother said, "Money, Temina's doing her own, so-and-so is doing their homework, and so-and-so is studying." And I said, "They're all crazy. What do you pay the school for? That's what I have to learn. That's what you pay them for. But not at home. I'll see you later." And then, I was also concerned because next morning I would have to recite that poetry that I was supposed to learn by heart. But Baba had helped me. He'd given me a clever brain. So I would just read poetry on the way from home to school, and I knew it. I knew it by heart. Whereas I'd see Mary D'Souza repeat the same line over and over again, rocking like this, in order to remember that poem. But I would read it just on the way to school. And I still remember, because I had a solar topi on, I used to wear, you know. My other girls did too. Very round, and then you had to blanco it with chalk every now and then to keep, like we did with our sneakers. So, but it has a rim like that. It's a stiff hat. So one day I was walking along on the road, learning poetry by heart. It shows you how little traffic there was in those days. My eyes on the page in the book, and I suddenly ran into a lamppost. I ran so hard that my hat, a rim, which is a very strong, stiff thing, just crumpled, you know. I was so glad I had the hat on. I would have just bashed myself totally. So then what to do? Because mother said she would only give a hat once a year. I had to look after the hat. If anything happened to it, if I lost it, it was my lookout. So for the last 2 months, before I could have a new hat, I put the hat backside front. So the the limp part was at the back, and I could still...